Hello, Olgeta, RNZ Pacific News, Kuautea, Kutiana Hexton. The race to form the next government of Solomon Islands could be a tight one, with no single party emerging from the election with enough seats to govern. Solomon Islanders went to the polls on April 17th. Kuroi Hawkins reports.
Former Prime Minister Manase Songovare's Our Party did the best, securing 15 out of the 50 seats in the House. The former opposition leader Matthew Wale's Democratic Party is first runner-up with 11 MPs, which is also equal to the number of independent MPs that have been elected. As for the rest of the field, the United Party secured 6 seats, the People's First Party won 3, and the remaining 4 minor parties won a seat each. The Governor-General of Solomon Islands, Sir David Vunagi, will decide on a date for the election of the Prime Minister once official results have been gazetted and Parliament informs him that all elected members have returned from the provinces to the capital, Honiara.
Kiribati High Court Judge David Lamborn says the decision by the Parliament to remove him from office is driven by politics and undermines the country's democracy. MPs voted very early yesterday morning to accept a recommendation from a hastily set up tribunal that Judge Lamborn be removed. Alicia Foon has more.
Mr. Lamborn fears the government will now try and deport him. The decision is the culmination of nearly 4 years of effort to remove the Australian-born judge, who was married to the opposition leader Tessie Lamborn and who has lived in Kiribati for 20 years. Mr. Lamborn says when he sought to challenge the legitimacy of President Tanis Mamal's actions, he suspended the Chief Justice. When the Court of Appeal upheld the correctness of the Chief Justice's earlier decision regarding his tenure, he suspended all 3 Court of Appeal judges. Mr. Lamborn says an absence of accountability only leads to authoritarianism.
A politics professor sees pressure from SODELPA, the kingmaker party in Fiji's coalition government, led to Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka reinstating the education minister. In January, Mr. Rambuka stripped Aseri Randorodoro, his former son-in-law, of his education portfolio for insubordination and disobedience. 3 months on, and the Prime Minister has walked back on his decision and reinstated Mr. Randorodoro. Professor Vijay Naidu says while the PM stood firm in his initial decision to sack Mr. Randorodoro, it did not sit well with his coalition partners.
The management board of SODELPA had given the Prime Minister an ultimatum, you know, to reinstate Randorodoro as Minister for Education, ask William Nwoka to step down, or else, you know. Clearly, there were some backroom negotiations and further discussions.
The Kanak National Liberation Front in New Caledonia, the FLNKS, is calling on its militants to continue demonstrating and protesting over France's decision to change the electoral laws. Under the previous law, part of the Nouméa Accord, the only arrivals from France who could vote were those already in the territory by 1998. But the French Parliament changed this earlier this month, broadening the qualification and sparking tension across the territory. The FLNKS National Congress is seeking advice on the legitimacy of the 2021 referendum, which most Kanaks boycotted and which resulted in a resounding vote to stay aligned with France. It has always maintained that that vote lacked legitimacy. The United Nations Development Programme and Japan have launched an innovation hub in Buka, Bougainville. The autonomous Papua New Guinea region is striving to develop its economy as it seeks independence, and the hub will have a role to play by boosting entrepreneurship and digital literacy. The UNDP's resident representative, Nicholas Booth, says sustaining the hard-won peace in Bougainville is not possible without the economic empowerment of its citizens. He says the focus at the hub will be on women and youth.
It provides access to the internet, it provides computers and internet connections, it provides a meeting space, it provides access to power, which is an important thing in a country where only 18% of the country is connected to the grid. It's solar powered. It's going to be connected to power the whole time.
The hub will include mentors and financing. The Pacific Islands Forum Fisheries Agency says the latest MOU with the US provides an important platform in many other areas. The Memorandum of Understanding allows US purse seine fleets to fish in the exclusive economic zones of 18 Pacific nations and territories. The agreement includes an annual $60 million payment by the US government for 10 years. Forum Fisheries Agency Director General Dr. Manu Tupou-Ruzin describes the deal as an enduring partnership.
It's not just about the fishing activities. It's all those important aspects around it to, for example, combat illegal fishing, protect the fishery, to manage and develop the fishery. So we're very excited about this continued work with the United States.
Despite the dengue fever outbreak in Samoa, locals are taking it that their stride according to One Health leader. Samoa has recorded 34 new cases of dengue fever in the past week. This brings the current total cases reported since November last year to 250. Penina Health Trust Chief Executive Ronile Laiaoluto says people are staying calm and taking precautions by using mosquito repellent.
I don't see any panicking, a local panicking or anything. People sort of are used to, you know, to disasters, tsunamis, cyclones, and so they just take it in their stride.
In world news, King Charles is to start returning to public duties in Britain next week after reacting positively to treatment for cancer. Buckingham Palace says doctors have been very encouraged by his progress so far. The BBC's royal correspondent Johnny Dimond has more.
The palace says this really is a step-by-step process, and all the while the medical team will be monitoring his progress and the timetable will be adjusted accordingly. And even those engagements that he does take part in, not unsurprisingly for a man who's being treated for cancer, a 75-year-old man who's being treated for cancer, even those engagements may have to change to try and minimise the risk to him. So look, there's no doubt that for the king, for his health, for those who want to see him out and about, this is very good news. It is the return of the king, but it is a measured return.
In sport, Solomon Islands champions Matax FC will meet ASPTT in Sunday's final at the OFC Futsal Men's Champions League. OFC media says both sides remain unbeaten after Thursday's clash between the two sides ended in a 1-1 draw. New Zealand boxer Miyamoto has extended her career record to 19 wins without defeat after making light work of a Thai opponent in Auckland last night. Motu defended her IBO bantamweight belt after a second-round stoppage win over Nopaket Serapis.
Takes me to the world and I'm coming for those belts. Ali Scottney, you better watch it. I'm coming!
China says it will cooperate with an independent World Anti-Doping Agency investigation into the events that led to 23 of its swimmers avoiding sanctions. The swimmers tested positive for a banned substance months before the Tokyo Olympics, but were allowed to compete at the Games. And in Super Rugby, the Chiefs produced a runaway second half against the Waratahs to win 38-22 in Sydney last night and move back into the competition top four. The sides were locked up 12-all at half-time. And the Crusaders have moved off the bottom of the table with an emphatic 39-0 defeat of the Melbourne Rebels in Christchurch. The defending champions currently sit in ninth. And that's the latest RNZ Pacific news and sport. For more, follow along at rnzi.com.